Welcome to episode number 81.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. You know, it doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have, a great big Class A, Class C, a Class B, a tent, even if you just sleep in the back of your car and dream of an RV someday, this is for you. We talk about getting out there and enjoying God's creation, sharing tips about technology and different ways we can make our RV experience even more fun. That's what it's all about, the RV lifestyle as we travel across North America. We're so glad you are a part of this program. Anyway, another edition, episode 81. Hard to believe we've had that many so far. This episode of Road Trekking the RV podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. By Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. By Verizon, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE networks, and two new sponsors this week, Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization with 1.6 million plus members now celebrating its 50th year, and AllStays, the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. Well, a lot's coming up. This is going to be a long episode, so you might want to listen to it in a couple of parts because we got so much to cover this week. Camping season is getting underway as springtime is now firmly established across most of the country. And in this episode, you remember the infamous Saturday Night Live skit that Chris Farley did as he hilariously portrayed Matt Foley, this erstwhile motivational speaker who was living in a van down by the river? Well, in this episode of Road Trekking the RV podcast, we talk to a whole bunch of people who are doing just that, living in a van down by the river and by the lake and by the beach and on the mountaintops and in state and national forests and campgrounds all across North America. We talk to them about what it's really like living in a van, Class B motorhome to be precise, and you'll hear them talk about the pluses and the minuses and much more coming up a little later in the podcast during our interview segment. Also this week, a great tip about keeping your clothes looking great while traveling in your RV. The RV news of the week, we've got some news of RV recalls you'll want to check into, some tech tips, and an off-the-beaten-path report about a destination you'll want to check out. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride joins me now, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we're off traveling again. Everybody wants to know how Bo is doing, by the way. I get email questions all day long and even on our Facebook group. And Bo is was a 10-week-old puppy that we got in February. And now he's growing leaps and bounds. And he's leaping and bounding.
Yeah, he's getting big. Yeah. And he's maturing nicely, I think.
He's nice. We've got one trip we're taking this week for about a week in the RV, and we're still debating whether we're going to bring him. He's just a little for the RV.
Yeah, he can't see out the window, and we're just not sure about all that bouncing.
We've been taking him in it regularly. He loves it. We took him on a trip across the state to Michigan a week ago, and he did well. So anyway, to all of those who you ask, you will be meeting him because he will be traveling with us much of this year, and we'll have a great time. Springtime, everybody's getting ready to go RVing.
It sounds good to me.
Sounds good to you. You ready to do a little bit of work?
I am.
Time for you to share your tip.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
This week's tip is about a very handy way to make sure your clothes look good and are wrinkle-free as you're traveling in your RV. It's a very special iron called the Power Steam Pro. I bought one at the recent Family Motor Coach Association Family Reunion Rally in Perry, Georgia, a couple of weeks ago. But it's also available online at Amazon. It costs $70, and I'm really impressed by what a wonderful job this does. We keep ours right in the RV. It's a commercial-grade garment steamer that steams in minutes and produces consistent steam for approximately 20 minutes. It can be used to get rid of wrinkles and odors from any type of fabric without the use of a metal plate. It won't burn you or scorch your garments, and you can use any type of water for the steam. It doesn't have to be distilled. Even tap water is okay with the Power Steam Pro. It is even safe to be used for silk and delicate fabrics. When I bought mine, a sweet young woman named Ginny was demonstrating it. So we pulled out the recorder and I asked her to share some of its features.
I'm with Ginny at Power Steam Pro, and Ginny's going to tell me why everybody needs a Power Steam Pro.
Well, it's 5 times faster than a metal iron. It's incredibly convenient. It's fast and easy to use. It's better for the environment. It's more convenient for you as well. It's really lightweight. It's less than a pound. It's easy to travel with. Keep it in your RV. It passes through airport security, and it also goes on a cruise ship. 110 and 220. It works without a converter. It's just something that everyone should have, whether it's for your clothes. It works for any kind of fabric, silk, satin, lace. It's impossible to ruin your clothes. Not only that, but you can use it on curtains, comforters, bedspreads. It's a disinfectant. It kills bacteria and it removes odors as well.
How much faster is this than a regular iron? And you don't get burned? This isn't hot?
No. Well, steam itself is 230 degrees, so steam itself is hot. But the bottom plate is made of Lexan. It's a material that you make with our football helmets out of. So it's very lightweight, but it's also very durable. You can do a cotton shirt, any shirt, in 10 seconds. It goes through several layers at once, so you only have to iron one side and all of a sudden you're done with the shirt.
What about silk fabrics and the real delicate things?
It works perfectly fine. I'm wearing a silk dress right now and I ironed it this morning. It actually knocks those wrinkles out in literally a second. It doesn't leave condensation, and it's really healthy for your clothing because when it knocks out those wrinkles, it relaxes the fabric to its original state. So it actually keeps wrinkles out longer.
And I noticed you were getting a crease in the shirts by just taking your time as you went down the sleeves.
Yes, just go slow along the edge, and the slower you go, the sharper the crease that you make. And if you do quilting or crafts, you can do it on fabric as well. Set a crease in there and just let the steam do the work. You also use it on a flat surface. You don't even have to use it on a hanger. Don't even use pressure. Just let the steam do all the work for you.
And I notice there's a very pointed end, which is good for getting into corners and those small places that are hard to iron?
Yes, we actually designed that pointed end so it looks like an iron. So you can use that pointed tip to go under the seams and get all those hard to reach difficult places, get collars and go in cuffs as well.
And also, with dry cleaning, you press it from the inside out rather than outside in.
Yes, if you go from the inside out on your shirts, it gives you that nice puffed dry cleaning look. And when it removes odors, it actually saves you money on dry cleaning bills as well.
Oh, that's always good. Dry cleaning, so expensive.
Oh, yes, so expensive. It's ridiculous.
I just bought one, and thank you, Ginny, for all your time and all your help.
No, thank you so much. I hope y'all enjoy it.
Like you just heard, I bought one. We'll put a link to it on Amazon in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/81. And all the background noise, that is Bo playing with a new toy.
Yep. What'd you get him? I didn't even see what that is. Yellow little thing.
It's a toy that you put an empty plastic water bottle in, and it makes a lot of noise, and puppies love that.
Crunches and crinkles.
Yeah, he's totally thrilled.
Yep. Bo is in here doing the podcast with us. All right, my dear. Well, thank you much.
My pleasure.
Well, we want to welcome a brand new sponsor to the Road Trekking RV Podcast. Sponsoring the tip of the week from now on is Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization, now celebrating its 50th year. When I say the world's most popular, do you know how big Good Sam is? I mean, listen to this. 1.56 million members. That is how big Good Sam is. So why do you want to be a part of an organization in the first place? Well, first of all, this is for everybody in the RV community. There's no elitism here. There's nobody scrutinizing, you know, what kind of a unit you have. It's for everybody who enjoys camping and the outdoor world and RVing and all that. So right away, it's pretty egalitarian, and I think you'll love Good Sam for that. The other thing is, the most practical benefit is you save money. I mean, a lot of money. Do you know there's 2,100 RV parks and campgrounds around the country that are affiliated with Good Sam. So when you check into them, show them your card, and immediately you get a 10% discount off the nightly rate. That is a huge benefit. The other thing is we all are on the road. We all need fuel, whether diesel or gas. Well, you can save on fuel with your Good Sam membership through the Pilot and Flying J chain of fuel stations all across North America. Isn't that a great deal? And then we always need accessories, right? Well, Camping World, which is the Good Sam Club's official RV accessory retailer, Camping World, located everywhere, all across the country, you'll save money there because of your Good Sam membership. In fact, the first thing they ask you when you check out, are you a member of Good Sam? Great. And then you get to a pretty good discount there as well. These Camping World Supercenters are amazing. There's smaller Camping World stores. There's also the Supercenters, and the Supercenters are, you know, you can spend all day in them. They have so many cool things. So you get lots of savings benefits from that. But I think the thing that I really like most about Good Sam, besides, you know, the support and the membership services, you know, and, you know, in terms of towing, and you can do all that kind of stuff, and you can get free online trip planning, which is a really great thing to have. But there is this community that they have, Cyber Sam, for example, Cyber Sam and Insider e-communications sends you out RV tips and member news. You can get a ton of how-to videos through Good Sam. And this RV community that they have, 1.65 million members, they plan events all across the country. All the time. There's local chapters, so you can find friends with similar interests. Anyway, check it out. Go to goodsam.com/roadtrekking. We'll put a link on the show notes. But welcome, Good Sam. As a sponsor to the podcast, we are delighted to have you with us.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hey, Mike, Jeff, a question for you. I just got a Road Trek CS Adventurous, and I'm really excited about it. We're provisioning it right now, and I follow a lot of your tips. And I got an RV super bag, and I'm hesitant to call the guy. He's a little wild, but I got two singles, which are a little wider than a king for a couple different reasons. We're going to use them the same way. But question. We just put it together, and my bag is 42 inches, and my sheet is 54 inches, and on the width and the length, I'd love having the extra length flip over, but it feels like you're tying yourself up in knots inside a laundry bag in this thing, with that extra 54 inches of sheet put in a 42 inch width. Are your kings as you had a single too? You said, is your single also 12, 14 inches wider than your bag, and do you just have to get used to all that extra material in there, or what's that supposed to be? I want to kind of do some research before I call this guy back, because he was kind of difficult to work with. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your input on that, because I love the super bag, love the idea, and I'm trying to get the finishing provisions done so I can take off next month. Thanks.
Okay, well, first, congratulations, Jeff, on your new RV. You're going to have a great time. And now let's talk a little bit about the super bag. First of all, let me just tell you, I have absolutely nothing to do with the company that makes them. I just am a customer. And we bought our first RV super bag about 5 years ago now, almost, as we started RVing. We bought a king-size unit, and we use that. That's probably the way we sleep most of the time. We mostly set up our bed as a king. But there are times, particularly in the winter, where we want that air circulation, that warm air, you know, if it's really cold outside, there are times when we'll sleep in singles. So we like the king so much that we got two singles. And I got to tell you, these things are expensive. And the reason they're expensive is because they were originally made for boaters. And boaters, all you got to do is say marine, and whatever it is add 60% to the price tag. And it kind of has stayed away with these super bags. They're very expensive, very expensive. You can go online and check them yourself, but you know, they start like at $260 for a single. I mean, come on, that's a lot of money, but they're really nice. They really are. Jennifer loves it. One of the first videos we did was of our king-sized RV super bag, and I'll show you, I'll put a link on our show notes page for this episode, so you, those who are unfamiliar with what it looks like, can check it out. So anyway, that's what we have. We have a king, and then we have two singles, and depending on how we're going to use it. However, I have had no problems with excess sheeting, and I wonder, Jeff, if you are, well, two things. One, did you make sure that you have the right sheets for the super bag? I think, I don't remember whether you have to order the sheets separately or pick them up, but make sure you've got the right sheets. But assuming you did that and you know that that's what came with it and that's standard, do you have it Velcroed all the way around so that you have sheets in the top and the bottom? That's important, and that would account for that little extra width. And if you're only putting them on one side, you're going to have a lot of excess. So make sure you got it all the way around. Those are two simple things that I guess I could suggest that you check out. And if you do have a question, give the guy a call. He's kind of a character, a nice guy. I remember he called us once because he was wondering why he was getting all these RV orders from our website, from people who saw what we had. But I have no connection with him at all. So you can say whatever you want or call him or do whatever you want. But check it out. We have had no problems. Ours fits very comfortable, and after 5 years, we still think it's the best sleep solution we have found. My only criticism is it is ridiculously expensive. A lot of our listeners and we've talked about it in the past, have said they balked at the price and they made their own. Well, more power to them. I'm not a seamstress, neither is Jennifer, and nor do we have the time to do it. So I guess if you can make one, that's even better. And a lot of people just use regular sleeping bags, but this is nice. Very comfortable cotton sheets. And I like the warm side it has for winter and then the cold side for summer. And depending on what it is, if it's really cold, you put the cold side on the top. If it's really hot, you put the cold side on the bottom, and you have the warm side on the summer side up, and a very comfortable sleeping arrangement. So best of luck to you. I think you're going to like it a lot. And hope to see you out there, Jeff, in your new RV.
Hey, Mike, you didn't show how to put the water heater element back in, not the element, but the rod back in on your dewinterizing. I'd like to learn to dewinterize my RV, because I know it's simple enough, except that there are a few things that my dealer said you need to know, and one of them is putting that rod back in. And the other one is, I guess, checking some of the faucet underneath the sink for leaking, or if they're turned off. I don't understand that part. I have a 2002 Poplar 200. And also, do you have a list of things to do before you hit the road, like checking the propane and, you know, just things like that that are easy enough, but sometimes you forget certain things?
Okay, that was caller Julie with that question. Well, congratulations, Julie. You want to take the bull by the horns and kind of learn how to do this yourself, and I think that's great. Let's talk first of all about the anode rod question. The anode rod is a rod that fits inside your hot water heater. And its purpose is to get the minerals and all the sediment and junk out, the metallic stuff that's in water, in a hot water heater, and to get it out so you don't drink it. And so it globs onto this anode rod over the years. And as you winterize in the fall, when it starts to get cold, the first task you have to do is to take that anode rod out. And that can be quite a task, because that sediment, you'll be amazed, even after 1 year on a new rod, how yucky and gunky it is with all this stuff, the metallic minerals and all that stuff. It is pulled out of the water. So it's just a mess. And it can almost solidify on there, kind of calcify on there. And you have to have a little bit of strength, a little bit of elbow grease to get that rod loose. And then you just unscrew it and pull it out of your water tank, and you drain it in the fall. Most people just put the anode rod away. And then in the spring, when it's time to get your rig ready for summer use, you've got to put the anode rod back in. Most people, Julie, get a new rod. It's not that much money. They're available, by the way, at all the camping supply stores. It's just easier to put a new rod in than to take that old one that's got calcification on it and mineral deposits on it. Some people, you know, who are really frugal will clean them. They like doing that kind of stuff. Go for it. But most people I know just get a new one. Every year, put it in. Now, the reason in some of our, we've got some dewinterizing and winterizing videos up on the roadtrekking.com website. And the reason I didn't show that is because it's pretty easy. You just put it in, screw it in, and you're done. However, every unit, every model of every RV is just a little bit different. So in your case, as you asked the second part of your question about the valves that you want to turn and the knobs for the water, which goes on, which goes off, what do you have to turn on in the spring that you've turned off in the fall, you need to consult the manual for your model. Now, your unit is a 14-year-old road trek, so the instructions for the current issue models are going to be, chances are, very different. So what you want to do is you want to go to the corporate site for Road Trek, the manufacturer of your vehicle, and that's roadtrek.com. Now, our blog is roadtrekking.com, but that's just the lifestyle blog. You want to go to the corporate site, which is roadtrek.com, and look under the support section, and there you'll see a little drop-down menu that will allow you to select the year of your Road Trek and then the model. And then you can then download to your computer the most up-to-date manual for your specific model. And under the winterizing and dewinterizing sections, it will tell you and show you how to set those valves. So there you go. That's the second part of your questions. And the third part in your question was about a checklist of what you should check before you begin any kind of a trip. And again, this is something that is going to be a little more specific to every model you have. There are some general things that we all want to do. I looked around, and I think one of the better ones that I found is from RV University. So in the show notes for this episode, I will put a link that you can click on that will let you look at some suggested checklists that you should do both outside the RV, and I'll make sure you don't have any leaks or anything, and you've retracted the steps, and you've secured the caps on the sewer outlet and all that sort of stuff. And then inside, there's a lot of stuff you want to do. You want to walk around the inside, make sure everything's, you know, the doors and drawers are all closed and locked, and that pilot lights are out, and that the roof vents are closed, that the TV antenna is down, if you have that kind of an antenna. So lots of things that are just simple little things that everybody kind of makes their own up as they get going. But this will give you a good start. So go to the show notes page for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/81. And I'll put a link to that RV University pre-trip checklist that might help you out a whole bunch. So best to you, Julie. And thanks for calling in that question. All right. Another one.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for your podcast. I've been going back through listening all the way back to episode one, binge listening on all of them, and take this the right way, but you have really gotten better, and it's neat to hear the podcast has evolved, and the latest episodes are even better than the first ones are. My wife, son, and I will be full-timing beginning in May and going for about 18 months to 2 years. We are looking in the 24 to 28 foot range for RVs, whether it's a class A, B, or C. And I'm trying to find the best way not to take a huge hit on depreciation. I'm only owning it 2 years and about 15,000 miles, I'm really trying to find a way where I won't just wind up, with the price of the RV dropping so much over just those 2 years. If you have any ideas, I'd love to hear them. Thanks for the work that you do.
All right. Thank you. That's Andy. Well, good luck with your shopping for a new RV. It's always exciting to do that and to think about what's going to happen. When you ask the question about depreciation, and man, that's a tough question because it's not good news. Let's just face it. I'm going to go to a guy by the name of Bob Gummersall. Bob is the chief technical editor for RVers Online. And for a number of years, he has been carefully tracking the values of RVs, of used RVs. And among other things, Bob Gummersmall has been investigating depreciation. And here's what he says. He has studied luxury, entry-level, diesel, Class A, Class C, Class B motorhomes, and even travel trailers and fifth wheels and campers. And here's, I'm quoting from him. He says, the results showed all RVs depreciate following the same curve. That the value of any RV has to include lots of items that affect the ownership cost, cost of money. That's like interest or loan or the lost investment interest you get because you spent it on an RV, and the cost of maintenance and the cost of insurance and licensing and fuel. Well, he put together a guide that kind of walks you through and shows you in general what RV depreciation you can expect. And let me just summarize this for you. He says, starting with the manufacturer's suggested retail price, that the depreciation is 30% just driving it off the lot, another 10% at the end of the first year, and 6% for each year following. Now, the truth is that few people pay full manufacturer's suggested retail for a new coach, and typically discounts are 10 to 20, maybe 25%, depending on the model and whether it's already in inventory. You know how it is when you deal with the dealer. But in general, he says the beginning of the sixth year, you buy a new motorhome, at the end of the sixth year, or an RV, the beginning of the sixth year, the RV is worth about half of its net purchase price. And he bases this on NADA and Blue Book prices that he has followed closely. And he says dealers follow those as well. And you can just kind of, he's got a little chart that shows that really starting at year three, the depreciation begins to drop, still by year six, it's about half as much as it was when you first bought it. So that's according to Bob Gummersmall. He's an expert who's been studying this year in and year out. And I'm going to put a link on show notes, and you can go and read that story, and you can talk with him. I will tell you this much, though. Another thing that you want to look at is just the demand for it. Because while the actual value may depreciate like that, the demand for it will cause that value to really be worth more, perhaps, than the Blue Book value. I know the first RV that we bought, a 2006 Road Trek RS Adventurous, we knew it was coming in. They're very hard to find in good shape. A good Class B, people tend to hold on to them, and they're very hard to find. We heard one was coming in, and so we said, well, we'd like to see it. Let us know when it comes in. And the dealer said, no, if you want in on it, you got to pay me, I think it was $200, to hold your spot in line. And I did. I paid her $200. We were number one in line, and there were six people in all, five others after us that wanted to see this new 2006 that they were bringing in and trade. And so it came in, we got called, and we said, you got to be here on this day. Didn't make any difference. We had any plans, and we'll give you this time. You're the first one, and everybody, we're going to schedule everybody right after that, but you have the right of first refusal. And so we paid $200 sight unseen, and we bought it. And that is typical in a lot of cases. It's very hard to find these. So the demand, particularly for Class B, is very high, which tells me that you're going to get a little bit better than those Kelley Blue Book and the NADA depreciation values that are listed. So anyway, go to the roadtrekking.com/81 show notes page, and you can look at that list that he made and see what you think about depreciation.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Becky from Mancos, Colorado, and I heard a recent podcast. I've been enjoying them. One of the recent ones, you had your new rig, and as well as your new puppy, Bo. And you talked about your roof being covered by the solar panels, right on. But your air conditioner is mounted under the rig. And I would like to have more information about that. If you could just talk a little about it And I assume that was a factory install at your request. Is it replacing a generator? Can you give me some details? Thanks.
Okay. Well, it has nothing to do with the generator at all. The generator, we don't have the traditional Onan generator. Our unit, as I said, the reason we took the reason the air conditioner is not on the roof is because the roof of my vehicle is all covered with solar panels, 650 watts of solar panels. And to get that great efficiency, what are you going to do with the air conditioner? So Road Trek engineers found a way to mount it underneath the vehicle. I answered a question about this in episode 80, last week's episode, where somebody wanted to know about how noisy it was, and we talked about that. But it is underneath the unit. It works great. We just used it throughout Florida and Georgia, and I anticipate we'll be using it this week as we start traveling again. It works great. It is a factory install. And it's in lieu of all that space it would normally take up on the roof. I like it because it really makes my roof a lot more streamlined. The unit looks very clean. We have no problems with dirt or debris or anything connecting in it because it's down below. It seems to wash off just fine with the regular road water that comes through. Works great, but it is a factory install. So I don't know whether it could be retrofitted. I doubt it very much. So there you go. And it has nothing to do with the generator. We have solar power. We have a bank of a heavy duty bank of lithium ion batteries. And then, of course, the unit we have is that Road Trek proprietary engine generator, which runs off the diesel engine on the car, charges the batteries if they get low and all that stuff. And we've talked about that. And you can find out a lot about that at any Road Trek dealer or go online for them. All right, one more question, and then we'll continue on with some other stuff.
I might like to know if the Road Trek RS Adventurous is considered high enough clearance to get to backcountry trailheads on dirt roads.
Wow, good question. I told you I had all those batteries on ours, and the clearance is about 8 inches. Doesn't sound like much, does it? But you know what? I go down back roads all the time. I mean, we do mostly boondocking. So we are always on dirt roads. And if you go to the roadtrekking.com blog, you'll see, just look up under boondocking under the search box there, and you'll see some videos and photos of our unit going down two tracks through forests. Now, if there are deep ruts, you might be very careful about that because there is not a lot of clearance. I know they do make four-wheel drive versions that have more clearance. We have not had the need for that. We have been traveling in an RS Adventurous down those back roads. We've also had a Road Trek E-Trek down those back roads in our current CS Adventurous XL with about 8 inches of clearance. It travels down those roads. Now, I am very careful on sometimes there are driveways that have a great deal of an incline to them. And I'm very careful going up and down those, very slow. Sometimes I've scraped a couple of times. No damage, nothing like that. It's not a problem. But you do have to be aware there's not a lot of clearance if you have all those extra batteries. That said, it has not affected us at all in the places we go or the things we do with our Road Trek. So hope that answered your question, Paul. Well, those are our questions this week. We love to get listener questions. And if you'd like to be a part of next week's podcast and you have a comment or a question about anything we've said, here's how to do it.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the Send Voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class B motorhomes from three locations. All three of these locations have a great fly and drive program. And this is what's so neat about the internet now and the way you can shop. You can do all your shopping online and then pick up the phone and make your deal. And then you fly out from your house, wherever it happens to be, to the location that you want to pick up. They'll meet you there at either Van City RV or Creston RV in Montana or Wagon Trail RV in Vegas or Van City in St. Louis. They'll meet you at the airport. They'll drive you to the dealership. And there your unit will be fully prepared for travel. You'll have complete full tanks of fuel, and they will reimburse you up to $500 for your air travel. How can you go wrong with that? That's the power now of the internet and being able to shop that way. Hey, here's Dan, the van man from Van City RV with this week's specials.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, I just want to remind everybody this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we'll be having our spring show. You can come meet some of the factory reps on our lot here, ask them questions. Hey, I got a 2013 Road Trek 210 Popular with only 16,000 miles. Give us a call for the best price out the door on that. We also got a nice new 190 Popular twin bed model in stock. So give us a call on that also. You can check them all out at VanCityRV.com, WagonTrailRV.com, and CrestonRV.com.
News. Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
All right, we got some recalls to talk about. First of all, from the U.S. Highway Transportation Safety Association, some RV-related recalls. I will have links to all of these on the show notes page, roadtrekking.com/81. But listen up, if you have Forest River product, they're recalling 176 2016 to 2017 Dynamax Rev RVs manufactured from April 1st of last year through February 15th of this year, and some 2016-2017 Coachmann Orion RVs manufactured from May of 2015 through December of 2015. These vehicles are built on the Ram ProMaster chassis. They have an ignition switch that may have an intermittent loss of electrical contact, and you can find information on our show notes page for that. Thor Motor Coach is recalling 385 2014-2016 Hurricane and Windsport motorhomes that they had manufactured from January 30th of 2013 to March of 2015. In the affected motor homes, the vehicle exhaust is located near a storage compartment where heat may build up, causing the compartment to melt. You can get more information again on the website. Winnebago Industries is recalling 31 2015 Winnebago Adventurer vehicles and 2015-2016 Itkasa Sun Cruiser vehicles manufactured January 6, 2016, March 8th of 2016. In those vehicles, the bolts that attach the hitch to the frame were not properly torqued. And one more from Winnebago. Winnebago Towables is recalling 50 2016 Instinct trailers that were manufactured from January 12, 2016 to February 29, 2016. The affected trailers may have an inadvertent I stamped as the fifth character in the VIN number. And again, information on all this, I'll have a link to the U.S. Highway Transport Safety Association recall info right there. $120,000 motorhome has been stolen in North Carolina. Happened in Concord, North Carolina. And this from the parking lot of Tom Johnson's Camping Center on Bruton Smith Boulevard there. Employees reported the theft last week. A dealership said only six other motorhomes were made that matched the year, make, model, and color. This was a 2016 Newmar Spartan King Air motorhome. It was listed on their website for sale at $922,473. It's 45 feet long, has three slides, private master bathroom, bedroom and bathroom in the rear, a second half bath. Anyway, they're looking for it down there in Concord, and folks in North Carolina are on lookout for that 922,000 motorhome. One other story this week, it has to do, comes from Mississippi, where state lawmakers, you know, it's a part-time legislature there, and they get $140 a day for expenses, and that's supposed to include their food and their hotel or their lodging while they're attending legislative sessions. Well, it turns out a bunch of these lawmakers have been living in RVs on state property, and they've cut this sweetheart deal that works out to them paying about $6 a night for RV parking. And of course, they get to keep all that, take that, you know, they still get their $140 a day, but they only pay $6 a night instead of $100 or $80 or whatever they charge you for a hotel room. Critics of this have called it the Camper Caucus, And they note that at least 21 lawmakers in Mississippi have been living in RVs or travel trailers parked at the Mississippi Fairgrounds downtown when the legislature is in session. Their work is in the Capitol right nearby. And there you go. They end up paying about $6 a day on this deal. Lots of people are saying, wait a minute, this isn't right. Hey, I'm glad they're in RVs. They'll be a little more friendly towards that as they consider legislation involving RVs, maybe, huh? This portion of the podcast brought to you by Aldi. A-L-D-E. It's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. Because the Aldi system is hydronic, works with water. The Aldi hydronic system brings so many features and benefits that you will not find with any other project. They get a silent heat. It's a radiant heat, so it's a warm, even, natural heat. If you've ever been in an RV that has had the heater running for a long time, that forced air, oh my gosh, it's so hot. It's so dry. It's so noisy. Not so with Aldi. Aldi's silent. It's radiant. It's like they use in high-end homes, and it's so comfortable. It gives you a lot more efficiency. It only draws about even a little less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. And that means it's going to extend the length of your propane roughly 40% over forced air. Lots of options. The one that Jennifer and I have on our Aldi system is we have the heated floor. And that is so nice on those cold mornings or those evenings or those nights when you get up in the middle of the night. The floor is heated. It's so comfortable. Anyway, check it out. Aldis are available now on a number of different RV platforms. Ask your dealer. Tell them you want Aldi because you heard that Aldi is the only name you need to know when it comes to choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Here's a couple of apps I found this week that I think are kind of cool. I mean, everybody wants to save some money. Maybe you're saving up for a big RV trip or that getaway for the summer or some new RV accessories. I found some apps that are designed. They're pretty cool. They let you save money in some brand new ways. And just you can do as few as a few cents at a time even. But it adds up. It's pretty cool. So I'll put links to these on the show notes page. But three personal finance savings apps that will help you save money and make it pretty painless. The first is called Quapital. It's capital with a Q. Quapital. Weird name. It puts a unique spin on saving because it lets you set up so-called rules. For example, if you buy a specialty coffee drink, then whenever you do that, you can transfer $5 to an FDIC-insured account that you can set up through Quapital. The idea is that it will add up and that you can then withdraw those anytime you want from your savings. Just push a button. It's a free app for iOS, the Apple platform, and for Android. Another app that's kind of neat is called Acorns, and it allows you to not only save, but then you can take those savings and invest them in very small amounts. You can set this Acorns app up to take whatever change you're due, and instead of putting it in your pocket, you can invest it. For example, say you spend $3.75 on a coffee at Starbucks. You pay with $4. Well, you can take the 25 cents that you're due back, and if you want to cash out at any time, it's no big deal. You take that 25 cents and you put it in a savings account. And you just do this with all sorts of products. It's no big deal. Just push a button and it saves it. And you can watch it actually grow. It's a free app for iOS and Android. But Acorns does charge you $1 a month to be a member of it. But it's still pretty cool. It works really neat. Try it out. And then a third one is called Digit. And this helps you save by monitoring your spending habits. This is really helpful for RVers when you're doing a lot of traveling. You're saying, well, where are we spending the money out there in the road? You set it up, give it permission, and keep track of everything. It uses some pretty complex math to figure out exactly what you can afford. You set your budget, and every few days, it will even withdraw a few bucks to an account that's FDIC insured. And then you can take whatever you've decided to save, and however you've worked this out, withdrawing, just you simply send yourself a text, basically, and it will do that for you. And it goes right into your checking account the next day. It's free for iOS. So those are three apps that help you save money and do some kind of cool stuff. Check them out. I'll put links on the show notes page, roadtrekking.com/81. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network, more than 112 million retail connections nationwide. You ever wonder what it would be like to swim with sharks or have a close encounter with a dinosaur? What if I told you you could experience those fantasies from the comfort of your own RV? You could, or your own home, or your own office. Verizon is making virtual reality, VR, a reality with the new Samsung Gear VR. It's powered by Oculus. And the Gear VR is this really cool mobile virtual reality headset that can transport you to amazing new worlds and games and video and images. These are going to be very popular. Think of it as watching movies in your own private cinema, being at the center of your favorite video games, or socializing with friends in a virtual world all your own. This lightweight design and intuitive touchpad that comes with this, this system drops you right into the action. You need to go try it. It's really fun. And the way to do it is just go to your local Verizon retailer and tell them you want to take a look at the Gear VR. Just go take it for a test drive. See what you think. It is amazing what that thing will do. And don't forget to visit roadtrekking.com/VZW for all sorts of stories about how technology can enhance and improve your entire RV experience as well as your life.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion
you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right, we're going east this time to Baltimore. Here are Off the Beaten Path reporters Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. There are lots of things to see in Baltimore, and first-time visitors shouldn't miss the Aquarium, the Inner Harbor, Fort McHenry, and the American Visionary Art Museum. If you're spending a bit more time or making another trip to this historic city, here are a couple of really interesting sites you might not find on your own. Hampton House and Plantation are just north of the Outer Belt in the city of Towson. Built in the Revolutionary time period and originally set on thousands of acres, this American great house had its heyday before and during the Civil War. The owners, the Ridgely family, produced iron stock and manufactured iron items for use during the war. The National Historic Site preserves the architecturally significant main house, as well as its supporting farmstead and a number of interesting outbuildings. There is also an in-depth look at the culture that supported slavery during the time period. Ranger guides provide fascinating tours of the main house, as well as the farmstead and grounds.
Just down the road, you'll find the Maryland Fire Museum on York Road. Originally a private collection, this is now a public museum run mostly by retired firefighters. The collection itself is impressive, but what really sets this museum apart from many others we've seen is the fact that all the equipment is maintained in working order and exercised regularly. You can attend the steam show in May and see steam boiler wagons pump water to hose trucks the way they did in the early 1900s. You can pull working fire alarms and not go to jail. I loved seeing the alarm room and how the system developed to alert local fire stations when a street firebox was activated. Lots of great kid activities at this museum, too. Of course, Baltimore has great seafood. We enjoyed a delicious meal at Conrad's Crabs. Baltimore will reward any number of visits.
It will indeed. Tom and Patty Burkett reporting from for our Off the Beaten Path report. We would love to hear your suggestion on, well, where we should go, what we should see on the road as we travel across North America. If I use your Off the Beaten Path report in a podcast, I'll send you a free road trekking hat. All the cool kids are wearing those this year. You can do that by using that send voicemail link at the roadtrekking.com website. Thanks to the Burkettes for that report from Baltimore. This part of the podcast brought to you by a brand new sponsor to the podcast, Allstays. Allstays, the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. I am delighted to have Allstays as a sponsor. This is the go-to app of choice that Jennifer and I use all the time when we travel. Allstays is the standard. It is the standard for traveler information, has been around for 16 years. It just gets better literally every day. It has a free website that you can go to, as well as the apps that you can download. It has an enhanced subscription website that really offers some awesome features. And it is no wonder it's number one in terms of camping apps. One of the reasons these apps are so amazing, and there's a whole family of Allstays apps that you can see. Just do a search under your Google Play Store or the Apple Store, and you'll find plenty of them. There's a bunch of them. Let's look up Allstays. But what is so cool about these apps is that the data is stored inside the app. That means speed and constant information. Even if you're outside of cell range, it's there. Most points also have text directions inside the app all the time. That's pretty cool. It lists camping spots of every single kind you'd want, from boondocking spots to luxury resorts, from county parks down to roadside pull-offs in the middle of the boondocks that you want to use. You can filter your camping type by club, by membership, for 30 different types. If you want to have laundry or you need to do some clothes, you can make sure that the campground has that. If you need full hookups, it'll tell you that. If you need just a truck stop with a Subway to get some fast food, you'll find that. Thousands of places like Walmarts and Cracker Barrels, which allow you to spend the night free in their parking lot. You can read actual RV parking reports and truck stops and rest stops. You can find those. I like those a lot, especially when we travel with our dog. We need to, you know, get him outside, our new puppy Bo, and I just look up rest stops. I find the rest stops on the freeway, and it tells me, oh, we got another 12 miles to go, and there's one coming up. That really helps. You can find dump stations. I used that just the other day as we were coming up out of Georgia. I needed to find a dump station, and bam, I found one 4 miles away. Didn't have to even think about planning further down the road because there was one right nearby. I never would have known it if I didn't use my Allstays. Anyway, the other thing that's really cool, a lot of people know the apps, but do you know about Allstays Pro? Now, if you work with a laptop and the bigger screens, you are going to love Allstays Pro because this works in your web browser and you get full screen maps. So if you're using your laptop or your desktop computer, has about 20% more of everything than the app has. And it is updated daily. More free spots, more parking options, more road hazards. The first thing you want to do is pick up Allstays Pro. I use that. Frankly, I use the apps all the time when I'm in the RV, but I'll use it at night or when we're sitting around the campfire. I'll use that to see where I am. I'll pull up maps. Check it out, Allstays Pro. Anyway, Allstays, we'll put links to it on the website. It is the web's number one RV and camping app, and Allstays Pro website, you really need to check it out. Pretty darn cool. Okay, now it's time for our big interview section. Those of you who are favorite friends of Saturday Night Live, remember, I don't know if you, there's one skit that every RVer loves, particularly every Class B RVer. And involves a character that Chris Farley created called Matt Foley, a motivational speaker. Now, let me tell you the story about Matt Foley. Under the skit, the famous skit, a couple had caught their teenaged kids with some pot. And they knew they had to confront them about where all this was going to lead. And so the father in this skit gets the idea to bring in a motivational speaker. And that motivational speaker is none other than a guy named Matt Foley, who, well, let's listen to this brief excerpt.
Matt, we're ready for you. His speech is called Go For It. Now, he's used to big groups, so make him feel like there's a crowd here. Matt, come on up, buddy.
All right, how's everybody? Good, good, good. Now, as your father probably told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Now, let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old, I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
Oh, You got to see that. You go on YouTube and you can look that up. Look up Living in a Van down by the river. Well, anyway, I brought that as an intro to introduce you to a group of people I met the other day at a big gathering in Perry, Georgia, the Family Motor Coach Association gathering, who are people who are living in a van. And as it says in the headline for this episode, the title of this episode, they're living in a van down by the river, over on the beach, up on the mountaintops, in the state forest, wherever they want. What's it like living in a van? What's it like in a Class B van in particular? What are the pluses? What are the minuses? We get that question all of the time from people as Jennifer and I travel, because that's what we're in. We particularly chose a Class B because it fits our lifestyle. But you've heard us talk about it, but I thought it'd be better if you could hear a whole bunch of other people talk about it. What is it that they like about being in a Class B RV? So come with me to Perry, Georgia, and a gathering of folks. They were all camped out there in their Class Bs, and well, here's what they had to say.
Okay, these folks look like they're gathered around a covered wagon circle of protection, but this is actually part of a group of road truckers at the FMCA convention, or family union as they call it, in Perry, Georgia. And these are all people who are living in Class B motorhomes. And they get together every night about this time for their happy hour and social. But if there was ever some folks that we needed to talk to about what it's really like to live in a Class B, this is the group. So let's ask them. Yeah. You guys started out in a Class A, and you've now downsized to an E-Trek. That's a road track Class B. What did you have before?
It was a 31-foot Coachman.
31-foot Coachman.
Yeah, we bought it used and got a great price on it. Neither one of us really wanted to go that big, but we took it to Montana with the kids and the grandkids and had a ball. And felt like it was too big the whole time, and we always knew we wanted something smaller. We don't need space inside because we got space outside. So anyway, we never used all the storage on that one, and since we've been in this one, we've still got a little spare space because we knew how to, from using a pop-up for 19 years, we knew how to travel light.
So did people think you're nuts downsizing to something smaller?
Yes. In fact, I had a woman come in this afternoon, and she said, I could never get all my stuff in here, but you'd be surprised how much you can actually put in it and what you can do without. I mean, I've downsized like my pots and pans and different things, and you don't need 10 pots and pans. You don't need a whole set of dishes. You know, for two people, even more, I think you can be amazed what you can do without.
Other benefits of the smaller motorhome.
Really great mileage. Easy to park. We can go into the city if we want to, which we don't care for cities, but if we want to go to a restaurant or anything like that, we just do it. Just act like it's a regular car. It's a little bit longer. It's over 21 feet, but if the parking spaces are short, we try to back in and back right over the curb, and that gets us back far enough and that we don't take up too much room.
Tell me what the benefits are of a Class B.
Well, you can park wherever you want to park. Gas mileage is great. They're just fun to handle, fun to drive. The wife can drive it. She doesn't have any problems with it. A little bit of space problems, you know, you got to learn how to pack right and all that other stuff and everything. But on overhaul, it's a great unit. I really love it. I really do love it.
What are the downsizes about it?
Well, packing. You got to learn how to pack right. There's not that much space, so we learn as we go. We got carried away the first few times that we loaded so much stuff in there. I thought we were going to go away for a year. It was only a weekend trip, you know, and stuff like that. So, that's the downsizing is the bad. Packing, basically.
You just need to mesh. But, you know, nobody's listening to a word you're saying because they're all looking at how cute this cat is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's their little girl, Callie, for Calico.
That must be whose stroller this is?
Well, that and the dogs. They share it.
You push a dog in a stroller?
Yeah, she has a Chihuahua. Yeah.
And a cat.
Yes, we got a Chihuahua and a cat.
And your wife, and so it's four of you in a Class B. Any problems at all?
No, not really, no. No, I mean, as far as maintenance wise and everything, I've never, knock on wood, you know, never had a problem with it at all. We've been to New Mexico to the Balloon Fest. First trip we ever took, went to California with it. But I had to tell her that I loved her before we left because I didn't know how it would react for that long of a trip in a Class B. But it worked out. It worked out. It worked out really good. We're still together. We still talk to each other. So things are doing good. Things are doing well. It's a wonderful life. That's all I can say. It's a wonderful life.
We have a 190 Popular. It's a 2015. We bought it last very end of July after owning a 2003 same model for about 2 or 3 months and loved it so much we decided we wanted to just upgrade right away to a new model.
So this is your second Class B.
It's our second one in less than a year. But
and
we
it's on,
to
the,
it.
On the Chevy chassis.
That's right.
So a lot of people say it's just impossible to live in one of these things.
Actually not. Actually, we enjoy it a great deal. My husband and I have put on probably 25,000 miles in the short time that we've had it and have just loved every minute. If one of us needs to get away, it's not that hard to just open the door and step out.
What are the pluses of a Class B?
The pluses of a Class B, we actually use ours almost like a second vehicle a lot of the time, even though we have two what I would call regular size cars at home. If we have a real busy day and my husband might need to take a nap during the day, we'll just take the RV for the day. And when he's ready to rest, he takes a nap. I go shopping. I go in a library. I read a book. Doesn't matter. If we need to use a restroom, it's right there. It's always clean. So, very convenient.
It has everything our house has. Bathroom, kitchen sink, closet, queen-size bed. We've got 4 chairs in ours, so we can have 2 guests around the table that we can set up there and play cards or whatever. And it has a propane burner, stove, microwave, coffee maker.
Everything you need?
Everything.
Dina, your license plate says mobile apartment. What does that mean?
I named my rig mobile apartment because when it was first parked outside of my house, several of my neighbors came by and wanted to see the inside of it. And when they saw the inside of it, they said, oh, that's about the same size as our son's apartment in New York. And since it's very mobile, it's a mobile apartment.
So what's it like living in a Class B motorhome?
I think it's great. You have a limited amount of space, so you have to be very efficient in where you put everything. And you therefore have to think very carefully about what you are going to take. And for me, that's hard, but I have to think about, okay, how many sets of clothes do I really need? How many cooking utensils do I really need? How much food do I really need? And I simply then cut down because I have to. And that makes it a lot easier just to have less stuff going wherever I want to go.
For me, I think the fun of being in a Class B is that we're able to go anywhere we want to go. We can park at a Mickey D's if we're stopping for food. We don't have to worry about any place else to look for. So I think that is like a big plus for us.
And I'll add on to that. The convenience, the immediacy of it, it's immediate gratification. You know, it's ready to go. You can get started or break it down and move on in a heartbeat. Flexibility, park anywhere you want, go anywhere you want.
What about the room issue inside?
Yeah, there's something, you know, they say two's company, three's a crowd. Well, sometimes one's company and two's a crowd inside a road trek, especially around the kitchen area. So I try to be helpful in other ways where before maybe I was in the kitchen a little bit, but no, that's Phyllis's purview and I just help how I can.
Yeah, I think that you do have to make sure that there's a division of labor as it relates to that, the kitchen area or even movement. In the van, you know, just to decide where you're going to be and who's doing what at what time. So in the morning, I get up and I do the coffee, and then while he's doing coffee, I'll maybe make fruit, you know, get the fruit ready or something so we can, one, eat healthy, and that's the good thing about it because the fridge is a big fridge in our RV, and that's just perfect for us because we like eating fresh.
We're already on that mindset of downsizing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Have been for some time. And, and in fact, Phyllis found some book on that. And see, she's making an art form out of downsizing. So we're learning to live with... We share a toothbrush, for example.
That's not quite true.
No.
That's not true.
I don't want to hear
that's,
that.
No, that's not quite true. It's close, but not true. But
you really don't need a whole lot.
Well, as you just heard, there are all sorts of compelling reasons to get a Class B, just as there are compelling reasons for people to get larger motorhomes. You know, when it comes to the RV lifestyle, it's all good, no matter which size coach you get. On the road, I'm Mike Wendlin. Thanks for watching.
All right. It was part of a video, and if you want to actually see the video, go to the show notes page, because I'll embed the video into the show notes page so you can both listen to it like you just did now on the podcast, but you can get to a computer and look at show notes. You can actually see all those folks as well. Living in a van down by the river, up on the mountaintop, down by the beach, wherever you want to go.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
All right, so ends another episode of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. And again, it doesn't matter what kind of an RV you have, a great big one, a small one, or if you're just a tent camper, this show's still for you, because we talk about the things that we all care about out there. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, you can record a voicemail message. Just go to the blog, roadtrekking.com, and click the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. You can just click that button. It says leave voicemail. You use the computer microphone, and we would love to hear your words on one of the future episodes. Please do us a favor and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or through your Google Play Store. New episodes are released every Wednesday, and we have a mailing list, and we send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday. You can sign up right from the blog, and when you do, you get a free packing list for your next RV trip as well. Anyway, till the next time, I am Mike Wendland, road trucking across North America. So long, everybody.